It's time for the Ship's Gonna Happen podcast. Here with a load of laughs, info, and fun, it's Tony B, Dave B, and Timmy D. Before I go alone. Don't ask me this and one more song. It ain't too costly, no, I ain't too cheap, so just relax.
Mixing it up a little bit this morning, David.
Like it, producer Tony.
Welcome to the... Go ahead, brother.
That's why you are the producer Bam! Of all producers.
Hello. Welcome to the Ship's Gonna Happen episode 135. My name is Tony B. Alongside me, as usual, is David B. Timmy D is... he's out in Kentucky golfing.
Well, I'm envious.
I hope he didn't get bit by a copperhead looking for his ball in the woods.
Beautiful weekend.
Beautiful! Ship's Gonna Happen is purely news-driven, and we do not express the views of any transportation provider or any business entity that uses any transportation provider. David, we do it.
Transportainment.
Boom! That's right. Transportainment. You can catch us on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and our home website, shipsgonnahappen.com. All you have to do is Google us, and you will find us. David B., it is episode 135. Happy Saturday morning.
And good Saturday morning to you, producer Tony. It is a beautiful spring Saturday morning just to the east side of Indianapolis. It looks great. We're on the 19th green, kind of figuratively or whatever, sitting right here on the 19th green looking at Tony's grass blowing in the air, and he said he didn't mow it yesterday, but I call BS because it looks like it was just mowed yesterday or whatever. Great looking yard, and I was standing in awe on the sidewalk walking up. I'm like, man, you know, and I try hard. I don't try as hard as Tony, but I'm like, yes, darn it, you know. And there's part of the yard where I'm like, okay, mine's looking a little bit like this or whatever, but it's just, but Tony's is, man, again, it should be Tony's lawn care service or Tony's landscape or whatever, because it just is just a good-looking yard.
Thanks, brother.
On a great-looking day. This show, along with our other shows, brought to you by The Great Divide, 743 East New York Street, downtown Indianapolis. Great place to go after Ship's Gonna Happen week. I got there Thursday. I didn't get there yesterday as much as I wanted to. Just a great place to go, especially on a Friday. Hear some good music, get a great meal, get a good drink, chat it up with the locals. Great Divide. Awesome spot. If you're ever there, tell them that the Ship's Gonna Have a podcast sent you. Jen and her crew will do a great job taking care of you. Producer Tony, how's your week been, sir? It's good to see you. It's always good to catch up with you. Everything well?
Everything's going good, man. Everything's going good.
If you don't, and I don't want to sabotage the show or anything, Producer Tony, but I kind of don't feel like discussing logistics today.
Okay.
I'm all right with that, though. Yeah. If you think that we need to, or if there's something that you prefer to discuss, I'm all good with that. But my head is kind of not where it should be this morning, because we deal with this 5 days a week, and this morning I'm just kind of like,
you're over it.
But I'm willing to, if we need to.
Just a highlight.
Numbers are down.
Numbers are down, layoffs, things like that happening. So TFI had a weird first quarter, so way down.
I mean,
election.
Not to be whatever, but who? And I don't mean that. I mean,
TFI. Yeah, Canadian based. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
I don't know you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're the T-Force fall under there.
Yeah. They're pretty big. Like 25% lower than they expected.
Really?
Yeah, it's what they're saying. Yeah. So that's the. It's the big news in the industry. Yeah, they were 25-something% behind. The stocks are kind of mixed all over. We talked about that last week.
So, to your point with that, is TFI a publicly traded company?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Canadian-based. They bought a lot of trucking companies over the past few years. We talked about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some are up, some are down. It looks like majority are down, but they're saying that it's a freight recession. But that the political politics may play into that a bit.
So to your point, and again, as much as I just said, I didn't want to discuss this today. One of the headlines, I'm only reading the headlines because I didn't do any homework today, is Tenna's numbers hit 13-month consecutive 13 month of declines on tonnage. So
that's what, since 2023, 2022, coming out of the COVID?
Yeah, March of 2023.
Yeah.
Ish or whatever, right?
Yeah, I think it's mixed because, David, like you and I've talked about before, what's odd is we've had the COVID years, right? So those numbers are kind of misleading a little bit, I would think, in the historical data. It's going to show spiked up for everybody, right? And then all of a sudden it's going to level out. And so I think we might be down from a little bit. So,
overall
in the industry.
Do you remember me saying I didn't want to discuss this today?
Yeah.
So the headline, again, it's just a headline I'm reading, is that TFI, going back to the TFI thing, TFI profit, and this is compliments of transport topics, TFI profit falls 17.1% on worse than expected market.
Right.
So, I know we've talked about this, but you can't always ride that cyclical high or whatever, that high where everything's going to just go bah, 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 or whatever. You
right.
know, like you mentioned, coming out of COVID, you have to expect the downturn or the down whatever.
Right.
It's not always just going to be.
Well, and I think if that's a company, too, that bought a lot of companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if those entities are down, if the whole industry's down and the entities they bought are down, yeah, they're probably going to report lower than expected numbers.
T-Force makes a zero effort to get great. So.
Yeah. T-Force!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
But, yeah, so that's what's going on in the industry. And other than that, man, it's... We seem to be staying on top of things, so we seem to be busy. Can see a little bit of the fluctuation, but I think that's just normal market stuff, and its pockets are probably different than some other pockets, depending on what business you're in, right? So, but yeah. So, man, I'm happy to see you this morning, David.
It's a pleasure. I really don't want to talk logistics. The Pacers pulled one out of their backside last night in the playoffs, which was nice to see, a 121-118 overtime win over the Milwaukee Bucks at home.
Oh, wow. Did you watch it?
No.
Okay.
I don't have any means to watch it.
Right.
I don't have a way to watch it.
Well, I don't even know if it was televised.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was good. And that was the thing I was intrigued about that game was it was a nice 5:30 p.m. start time. To me, that's a good start time. Being coming from the old man aspect, I think that's
some of those games at night games can go to like 9, 10:30, 11 o'clock. You don't get home at 11 midnight, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the traffic and all that. So
yeah. So yeah, the fever, or excuse me. The Pacers won nice, up two games to one over the Milwaukee Bucks right now in the best of seven in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And while I had a Freudian slip there just a moment ago that Fever training camp starts on Sunday, which is tomorrow technically. So looking to see how...
You got your Caitlin Clark jersey yet?
I don't, but I am... interested in at least buying a Fever as a team t-shirt. To me, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, like if you watch that Michael Jordan 30 for 30, the thing that I was most bothered with that 30 for 30 is that he did not appreciate who he had around him.
Oh, yeah.
You and I are only as good as who we have around us on a daily basis to get that job done.
Yeah.
And I don't care how good you are or think you are. You have to appreciate who you have around you.
Right. I agree, man.
And which is what I hope doesn't happen with the Fever. You know, the Fever already have Aliyah Boston. The Fever already have, you know, a few other players in place. I think Caitlin Clark is just the icing on the cake. And I'm not downplaying her role to the team or whatever that she's going to provide, but she will be probably the cherry on top or whatever. But we can't, in my opinion, forget about everybody else.
It's kind of, you know, if you go back to like when Larry Bird entered the NBA, right? there was a lot of who the heck's this guy? This guy really is not that good, right?
And he came out the same year as Magic, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so comparing that together, and even when Magic came out, right? Like people aren't always willing on the team to hand over the reins to somebody, right? So that's a good thing you brought up Magic, because they did come out the same year. They both had to earn that slot. And just like Bird tells a story, there's a story, I forget who the forward was, but he was like, man, there's no way this guy's going to beat me in practice. He's like, I'm already, because they're working for starting jobs, right? And he's like, there's no way this dude can shoot over me. And he's like, I'm all over him, man. And he does a couple fakes, and he's around me, and he hits like this long bomb three. And he's like, damn, that was lucky. He goes, let me get up on him again. And he goes, he did it again. He goes, so next thing I know, he was in a starting lineup. You know, so like, I think you got to prove yourself. So it'll be interesting. I think she compliments the team. You know, it's always some people that always want the ball at the end aren't the ones that should have the ball at the end. You know, the people that think they can always make that. There's great athletes that can't make those last second shots, right? And then there's those athletes that may not score a lot through the whole game that can make that, want that ball, want that last shot.
Tyrese was that guy yesterday.
Right.
1 point, whatever, seconds left, and he nailed that shot, put the Pacers up. You know, it was an and one.
That's huge.
So he hit a two-pointer and one to put him up by three with 1.4. Tyrese was that guy last night.
Nice. Isn't it weird how long? So the playoffs start now.
And it goes till June.
Oh, my God, dude. That's so long.
But then you also have to, and to what you're, to your point exactly, it's already the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't we just have Christmas? Or
oh, I know.
I mean, this year just literally started, and here we are, the end of April already, and the NBA playoffs go to the
beginning. Crazy.
And so do the hockey playoffs, too, though.
I mean,
you think about it, hockey playoffs are just... Sure.
How many games do they play in hockey?
I'm not that familiar with hockey.
Is it 80-something?
Well, the NBA is 82.
82, that's
and
right.
And I'm going to... I don't know.
I'll look hockey, it up real quick.
The answer.
Because it's like those two sports seem to go on forever. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of... When they start, football's still going on, right? Mm-hmm. The NFL. Mm-hmm. And then baseball starts, right? Mm-hmm. And they're still playing.
Right.
It's just, I think their season is in a weird spot.
All right, I got a question for you. Yeah. I'm going to switch gears just a minute here. Since you mentioned baseball, what are your thoughts about the White Sox want a new stadium? How the F is that going to happen?
It's a problem.
Do they draw anybody?
Well,
I'm not trying to be whatever.
Let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
Man to man. Man, you might be different. Let me see how I phrase this.
About the location of the
dude, it's in a rough spot. It's a rough spot.
Just say, I know where you're going, man.
It's rough. Like ESPN, nobody does live remote. Like WGN doesn't want to go there anymore because they get robbed in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. But it's legitimately right off the interstate.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And I'm not saying it's in a great spot because it's not.
Yeah.
I've been there a handful of times, and I don't care to ever go back. But how is the south side of Chicago worth another...
Is that where they're wanting to build it? I don't think that's where they want to build it. I think so. Since I was a kid, I grew up in Chicago, by the way, if you're listening for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears.
Hopefully not the last time.
Yeah, no kidding. The Bears have always had to share Wrigley Field. The Cubs have shared Wrigley Field, right? And then they built Soldiers Field. There's just not enough room for it. Plus the location of it. So there's always been this talk of the old Arlington Park racetrack, huge property. It would you could build a football stadium, and you imagine it was a premier racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
So it had all the elements that a racetrack. Short tracks for getting them warmed up. It was huge, just acres and acres. So that's actually been taken down and for sale. So the thought's been that that's where the Bears could move to. So the Bears were the first ones wanting to leave Soldiers Field because it goes back to them never wanting to renovate the field, right? So, and then they did, and it's still an issue. So, going back here, so do you remember the name Ed DiBartolo?
I do.
Okay, Eddie Bartolo ended up buying the 49ers. He wanted to buy the Sox. Back then, during this time frame, if you can go back in that time and remember this, all the baseball owners had to agree if you were if they were going to accept you being an owner. Okay, it was a little different in baseball. Harder to be a baseball owner than probably other sports. So then, Ed DiBartolo puts an offer in for the Sox. Steinbrenner killed it. So what Ed wanted to do was pack up the Sox and move them to the north side. So the Cubs voted against it too. The Cubs didn't want the Sox to move to the north side because that's their fan base, right? Mm-hmm. So the Cubs fan base kind of stretches all the way probably the Wisconsin border. The Sox fan base is kind of centralized on that south side, right?
Yeah, right.
So Ed was like, DiBartolo was like, I'll just move the thing to the north side, and he knew he'd capture a lot of Cub revenue, right? So advertisements and things like that. So, and the growth is on the north side of the city. So it didn't happen. He buys the 49ers, takes them to 3 Super Bowls, right? So it's been a long going thought that would happen, and it's probably time is now for it to happen. Because, I mean, you look at Wrigley Field. So let me back up, though. So the Bears wanted to build a multiple facility. They also wanted to do, in that area, one of the investors wanted to build a Big Ten championship stadium. So all the Big Ten games would be played there. But they, you know, that's all talk. So, but I think the Sox may be threatening to get a better deal on leases and things like that. When Michael Jordan was with the Bulls, and that stadium's located in a horrible part of the city, mm-hmm. he used to bring $1 to $3 million of revenue in that area. So if the Sox are winning and still can't pack that stadium, they can never bring that type of revenue back to that area. So I feel they would get a lot more fan base if they were to move, but to build it on the south side, I don't know why you would do that. You're going to lose. You're just never going to get the fan base you want, and that all alludes to money, right? And mm-hmm. being able to pay for players and stuff. But it's interesting you talked about that, because Kaminsky Park, the old Kaminsky Park, and the Sox have always had some fantastic ownership, very creative ownership. And, they're just kind of stuck there on 35th Street, right? Is that where it's at? 35th and 38th.
Mm-hmm. I drove by there going up to the Northwestern game.
Yeah. It's not a bad-looking park, man. On the inside, it's a nice-looking ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in that one before.
I think the last time I was there was with you guys when Roadway did called?
It was kind of it was
the Negro League.
The Negro Leagues, tribute to the Negro Leagues, yeah.
Did you, or have you ever, and if we've already talked about this, we can change the subject or you can stop me. Buck O'Neill, do you know who Buck O'Neill?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I could listen to that guy talk about his, he's gone now, but I could listen to him talk about his stories from the Negro League probably for days on end. An excellent storyteller, and that was, you know, when we did that, when we did that thing with Roadway, that was to me, and it was like a little, it was a museum. It was a,
they had a bus they pulled in.
That's it. Yeah. It was a traveling museum thing. And I wish I could have ever met Buck O'Neill.
Josh Gibson hit 800 and some home runs, man.
Mm-hmm. What a
playing against the same talent that the Major League Baseball had. Probably better, some better talent.
The Indianapolis Clowns, I'm going to draw a blank on the Monarchs, the Kansas City Monarchs.
Kansas City Monarchs is probably the most famous one.
Yeah.
Satchel Paige.
Mm-hmm. He died kind of broke and destitute, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. And I'm not trying to.
Yeah. He was, let me get up here real quick, because I think he got into the majors. He got into the majors and he was a lot older, and he did really well. Or did he never get into the majors? Let me see here. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame for sure, but he's one of the best pitcher. Won 391 games. I thought that maybe toward the end of his career he. He played for the St. Louis Browns.
Okay.
Earning two All-Star game selections. He then returned to the minors at the age of 59 with the one-game stint with the Oakland Athletics. He pitched a three-inning shutout. He was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1971. Good stuff, man.
It is, yeah. While it's an unfortunate part of history, it's an interesting part of history to read in on the Negro Leagues.
Hang on, brother. Go ahead. Oh, my gosh. I did not know this. At the age of 42, Satchel Paige made his American League debut when Bill Veeck, former owner of the Chicago White Sox, signed him to a contract with the Indians on July 7, 1948.
Wow. The best radio interview I've ever heard.
Wow.
Is it had to be early 90s, maybe early to mid 90s. I listened to Jim Rome, and Jim Rome interviewed Buck O'Neill, and it was the best radio interview I've ever heard. Jim Rome just let him talk, and it was the best thing ever. Didn't interrupt him, didn't say a word, just let him talk. And it was like, man, I could listen to this dude talk for days. It was that good of an interview. It just, you young people in the audience need to appreciate it when people, older people, start telling stories and just don't poo-poo them off or whatever. That's, you could learn a lot from your elder.
You can learn a lot from your elder.
If you don't know your history, you're often doomed to repeat
you
it.
You sit there and listen, young man.
So, but yeah. So going back to the White Sox, I mean, do they? I mean, can they support that team? You know, you mentioned winning. I mean, how long did the Cubs go without winning anything, but still draw?
Put that pocket,
the
there
lure,
in, right?
Yes, the lure.
The pocket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the real mm-hmm. estate they own is prime.
Sure. Yep.
Don't even need a parking lot, David.
No.
And there come. Don't even build a damn parking lot.
We got a train station right here.
Yep. Hey.
That's the way I go.
Yep. No parking.
I'm going to park in Hammond and take the South Shore and get an L pass. Hop on and off wherever you want to for $5.
I'm going
to
build a stadium with no parking.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Imagine that a city has public transportation.
Yeah. Oh. Imagine that.
But Indianapolis.
You take a scooter. Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff, though.
Different.
So what about, brother, what about the draft? NFL.
So
draft.
Yeah, I'm not a big Sunday football guy, but I don't, you know. So to your point with that, you're the Bears dude. What are you thinking? I mean,
you're the Bears dude. I like it.
Had a number one pick. Were you happy with that?
Yeah, I think you had no choice but to take him.
Mm-hmm.
You had to take him. You know, since you traded. Fields.
What's the Bears' histories with drafting a quarterback? How's that went?
They've never had.
I'm joking. I mean,
well, they've never had a. They've never had a first round. Their last first rounder, I think, was that committed first round where they were dedicated to
Justin Fields. Was he not first round?
Yeah, he was fourth, but. Like, just going back in time, would probably be McMahon. They sought out McMahon to pick him. I don't know if they sought out to pick Fields. I think he just happened to be there, and they needed a quarterback, so they took him. And they had high hopes for him. It's silly to say that, but they did have high hopes for him. But
it's Trubisky. When was he drafted?
He was drafted late in the first round or second round. I'm talking like top pick, like number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't had a legit number one, I don't think, in a long time. But, I mean, you got to remember, Sid Luckman's the Bears' all-time leading passer. Sid Luckman, he played 1939.
I thought it was the dude that went to Vanderbilt.
Oh,
went to, grew up here in Indiana.
What's his name? Oh, gosh, I'm going to look it up. I think maybe he did pass Luckman. We'll see.
You're listening to the Ship's Gonna Happen podcast.
Yeah, Jay Cutler.
Was he not the best?
Jay
like
Cutler.
The numbers wise, was Jay Cutler
yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
the
23,000. This is the all-time leading passer, followed by Sid Luckman and Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
I mean, like barely played for the Bears.
So I was listening.
It's horrible. Jay Cutler.
Right.
God.
I was listening to a pre-draft show analysis, and there was a gentleman. I don't remember who the guy was from. I don't know where he was from. He legitimately said, and I quote, the Bears have never, never had a good franchise quarterback. And I'm like, that's probably going to piss off some Bears fans.
Well, he's right to an extent. I think McMahon was a franchise quarterback. They just couldn't keep him healthy.
Right.
He had some injuries that really hurt him. He got that illegal hit in Green Bay that put him out, separated his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the top Bears passers.
Okay.
Jay Cutler.
All right.
Sid Luckman.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Harbaugh. Jim McMahon.
Okay.
And see, that's the thing you look at here is McMahon played less games of these guys, but is overall the highest rated quarterback they had. Eric Kramer, Trubisky. I mean, Bob Avellini, Johnny Lujack.
Right.
I mean, this goes Cade McNown. My God, this is horrible.
Wow.
Their history of quarterbacks. I mean, they've historically been known as a defensive team. And running backs, but man.
So did the Bears screw Justin Fields, or is Justin Fields not that good? Or did they make a bad pick? Is that the right way to say this? Or
my whole thing was, and I told my buddy from Chicago that when he and I always talk about Bears stuff, I thought they should have traded Fields last year to get Stroud because they had some buying power with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Stroud's a better quarterback than Fields. But I think Fields will work out in Pittsburgh.
But will Caleb Williams end up being better than...
I think so. I think so. And the thing they didn't do for Fields that they're doing for him is they're loading up the offense. I mean, they picked that receiver from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was picked as the third best athlete in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So... Plus who they have and got. They got the Chargers, one of the Chargers' top receivers in the offseason. So I thought they might take the edge at the ninth pick to shore up their defense, but they went for more offense to give the quarterback some more options. So now the starting quarterback, Chicago, has three legit receiver options, a tight end option, and a decent running back. So the Bears, I would be surprised if they didn't win 9 games. Because they're going to have a soft schedule.
Hmm. Because of their record.
Because of their record. Their non-conference games are going to be soft.
Hmm.
So, and Green Bay is going to be tough, and Minnesota's going to be decent. They're always decent. So, and Detroit, I mean, the conference is pretty solid. So, but I think it'll be interesting. I think they did a good job. I think so. I'm happy with it. I mean, if you don't take that guy, I think he was legit number one. And watching him in college, some things I didn't know. He played at Oklahoma. Did you know that?
No.
He played at Oklahoma and lit it up and then transferred due to the NIL stuff to USC when the coach left and came there, the coach that he wanted. And he came right in there and lit it up. So, and last year's team at USC wasn't that good, David. So he had to ad-lib a lot during his – offensive session. So but overall I was happy with it, and I was going to ask you, did you see who the Colts got?
The Colts got an edge with their
who did they get that guy?
So I'm gonna f up the name because I'm not familiar with this gentleman. Give me a second. You're listening to the Ship's Gonna podcast. I need to cheat and look it up because I don't remember the gentleman's name. Need to put on some timey music while we're looking up the I heard just give the name. Good Lord. Why can't you man. Alright, so I'm looking up the why can't it just come out? Seriously. But they had the 15th pick, and I know they picked an edge. Oh.
Gosh. No, they're still pick. Are they still? Gosh, dang it.
This is annoying.
It's going through, man. Like, mock drafts.
All right, so here we go. So the last name's Latu, L-A-T-U. I'm going to completely botch that first name.
Oh, so Dallas Turner, Alabama, went earlier.
So Liatu Latu is what I'm guessing. Defensive end. I heard they made good picks yesterday. I'm not sure who they picked in the latter rounds, but I've heard nothing but positive things out of their draft. So
the Colts usually do well.
I was a little surprised, and I don't know how much they either tried or didn't try to move up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm really surprised that didn't happen, but you know, maybe they did and just didn't make the right offer. But how do other teams make the right offer? But we'd never make the right offer, you know. Or
I think the Colts maybe had enough of the Harrison family.
Okay, I guess I never thought of it that way. You're not wrong. So fair enough. Wash your hands out.
Yeah, I don't think they cared to do anything with that.
Fair.
But you're right, though. It would have been nice to see the quarterback with that receiver. That would have been nice. I was surprised that the Falcons took Michael Penix at number 8. That was a shocker.
And he played at Indiana for a minute.
Yeah, right? He's not bad, man. He's the guy that's not going to blow you away on the stat sheet. But he's the guy that's going to get it done at the end of the day. He wrote a nice letter to teams saying, if you want to draft me, this is what you'll get. It's pretty cool. I think that's why he might have went up higher. But went to Atlanta, which is, they got a pretty decent team. So, but yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Leateo Latu.
There you go. Well done. You did it better than
me. The Colts. You got the Colts fans, it's funny. The Colts are a great organization, man. They seem to find ways to win.
I don't disagree with you, but
it's a better ran organization than the Bears. It's one of the top 5 ran organizations.
Their biggest misstep was, again, just my opinion, giving up on Peyton Manning. How do you give up on Peyton Manning, regardless of what you have ahead of you? So you draft. You know, he had this neck injury thing and blah, blah, blah. You let him walk or whatever. And then you draft an Andrew Luck. He stays around for
5 years,
whatever.
Maybe. 5 minutes.
Yep. Whatever that was. But then when he leaves, you're like, just go ahead and go. But we're going to keep you. We're going to pay you your entire contract out. So you had a guy that took you to a Super Bowl and won. And you let him kind of like, like one of the best of all times.
Yeah.
But then I'm perplexed by the Andrew Luck thing where you're like, yeah, okay.
Right. I know.
What?
I know.
I don't disagree with you saying that they're a well-ran organization, but there are sometimes where you're like, you know,
I think sometimes their ego gets in the way and they think, let's stay ahead of the game. And if we can get Andrew Luck right now, we can get back to where we were with Peyton. But you're right. I mean, it's so many things had changed by then that players are, you know, who knows? Maybe Peyton wanted to go too. I mean, who knows? He may have just been like, you know what? Denver's going to pay for some stuff and do some things.
Sure.
I mean, it looked like at that time, Denver was more likely to win the Super Bowl than the Colts, just due to the fact that the Colts weren't willing to. It looked like they maybe had capped out, you know, financially with what they were doing, and maybe got caught in a trap of ego. Well, we'll just take Luck and put him in this Manning off, which Andrew Luck did well. But we remember though they lost all those offensive linemen, right? Manning was probably getting the hell out of here, dude. You know,
right. Right, but Manning, to your point with that, I mean, Manning was basically the leader of the, while he didn't play offensive line, you better have, because or he's going to be in your ass,
yeah.
you know, in
right.
a good way.
Yeah.
You know, get your effing poop together
right.
or whatever.
I'm just surprised, though, what you said there is even as dumb as the Bears could be, they always took their former players and kind of had them in as consultants, you know. Mm. I'm surprised they never did that with Manning.
Well, to your point, too, with that, in my opinion, and probably it's factual, not just opinion, the Pacers do a shit job at that, too. How
yeah.
do you not bring back your – how is Rick Smits, and not just Rick Smits, how is Reggie, how is Rick? You never hear of them being in town
right.
or around. Why is that?
Yeah.
Why is Rick's jersey not in the effing rafters?
It's
you know?
Not? I didn't know
no.
that. Wow.
No. You all they only have in their rafters are Hall of Famers. They don't have just whoever up there.
Okay.
And maybe that's the right way. I don't know. But to me, Rick Smits being your second all-time leading scorer, your second all-time leading rebounder or whatever in history, how is his jersey not up there?
Right,
somebody explain
true.
That to me. Jermaine O'Neal. Why is Jermaine O'Neal never back in town?
Right.
yeah. Or you never hear him being back
yeah.
in town.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pacers do a shit job at that.
Yeah.
Shit job.
Pacers. The Pacers. You're a big fan. You like them, though. You stay.
So, like, I don't know if you remember Sam Perkins.
Yeah.
Sam Perkins, when he, after he
Sleepy
played,
Sam.
after he played with the Pacers, they brought him in as a, like a kind of a liaison between like the players and the team or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And he's not around anymore. To your point, I don't get how that's just not an all-the-time thing. How are
yeah.
Rick and Reggie of anybody?
Well, even Bird. I mean,
sure.
They may even done
mm-hmm.
Bird wrong
mm-hmm.
there toward
mm-hmm.
the end. It's like, I mean, geez. I mean, he kind of took them further than they had gone before.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun team to watch. That was one of the most fun Pacer teams to watch. But, yeah, I don't know, brother. I don't know, man.
It's
crazy
weird.
Stuff.
It is weird. But now we have... WNBA training camp starts tomorrow,
boom.
Which is Sunday, the 28th. And so the fever will, it's already a hot ticket, producer Tony. A lot of the Washington Mystics, their first home game against the Fever that sold out in 30 minutes. So I'm not familiar with
wow.
how the Fever ticket sales are going, but I'm sure that I had my Uber driver yesterday coming downtown, the first question he asked me is like, hey, you ready for the Fever season? Or do you ever, I go, dude, I've been a Fever fan for a long time. I'm not just now a Fever fan. So, you know, we can't forget about, you know, Tamika Catchings took us to a championship in 2012 or whatever. And we already have Aaliyah Boston. Again, I'm not poo-pooing on Caitlin Clark. It's just not it takes all of us, not just one of us.
David B, so, good call here. I looked it up. Indiana,
okay.
Washington Mystics game sells out in roughly 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The game has now been moved to Capital One Arena.
Okay.
Boom.
Wow.
So they sold so many tickets that they're moving to the bigger stadium.
So now I got to wonder with what you just said, I think, and I don't know this to be 100% factual, but I think this is the Fever's last year at Gainbridge. And don't they move to the...
I don't know. You know better than me, brother.
I think next
sure.
year they move to... either they move to Fishers or they move to where the ice currently play, to the fairgrounds.
Okay.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. Ooh.
I don't think that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be a thing. If that's already in the works... I don't think after this season that's legitimately going to be a thing. Fair or no?
Yeah, you need to change that.
Yeah, yeah. And you also need to bring your ticket prices back to where
yeah.
they were.
That's
you can't for you to bump up your ticket prices the way you have is complete
Lord.
Bullshit.
Well, I mean, it says...
Mark that yeah. sensor right there at whatever time.
Mark it.
Yeah.
one,
gotta bleep out the BS comment.
39.40. So it says here that... Caitlin Clark has helped the NBA or WNBA sell out tickets. Demand is skyrocketing as Caitlin Clark is placed for the Indiana Fever. Ahead of her WNBA debut, ticket sales are soaring in some teams. Yeah, well, that's great. I like that excitement. It's good for women's basketball. It really is.
And they start playing next month.
Yeah.
I mean, middle of May is when the regular season begins.
And she signed a big Nike contract. Mm-hmm. So she's got the – it's kind of weird, right? Like the, her NBA, her WNBA salary is lower than her
– Is her – and I don't know the specifics on her shoe deal. Is her shoe deal like a shoes plural deal, or is it a – singular shoe, like
I think it's just with Nike, right?
All right, yeah. So I'm sorry. What I mean is, is it a line of shoes or is it a like single shoe? Like this one type of shoe, is a Caitlin Clark shoe, or is it a certain specific type of shoe? Like where it might be a Fever colored shoe or a Iowa colored shoe or a casual shoe or a whatever. I thought I heard it was a line of shoes, but I could be wrong with that.
No, I'm trying to look it up here. She signed a $28 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because it could be...
It's a no house payment deal right there.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's huge. She'll be living in Geist.
Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend already lives in town. He works for the Pacers. But he had a
I thought maybe she hooked that up.
No. It was
I'm coming to
wait
your
a
town.
Minute. Wait he a minute. A wait a minute. I think you're not wrong. I think in maybe some like weird way, like let's hire Caitlin Clark's boyfriend.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just wondering if she's like, I'll come to Indiana, and they were like, hey. He graduated earlier or something, and they're like, hey, they hire him, right? Mm-hmm. And then
that's what, yeah.
The whole,
do you blame him?
No,
yeah,
like, yeah. Smart man, it's smart business.
He's a video dude, not seriously. He's not in legitimately marketing? That is not, no. Is that what he does?
I think he's in marketing.
Oh, okay,
does something. He might be the $28 million in span over 8 years. Signature shoe brands. Clark is expected to receive a signature shoe in the brand's catalog, according to The Athletic.
A signature shoe.
Yeah, it might be okay. like a mm-hmm. Jordan.
Nope, yep. But, you know, there was that line of Jordans, though, is where I'm getting at.
Yeah, you ever watch that documentary about the guy that landed that deal?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's okay. Really good. Because it really...
The shoe deal, because originally it was,
it was Adidas, and so, the guy that worked at Nike, they just did running shoes. They had no basketball shoe. Jordan was their first basketball client, and I believe so. So then, don't hold me to that. He may have been one of their biggest prospect ever. So the guy, Michael Jordan's mom, beast. Negotiator, beast, mm-hmm. The beast. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for her, he wouldn't have as much money as he does. So this guy kept telling her, if you go to Converse, it's dying. Don't go to Converse. They're dying. So Adidas is like the big deal. And then the Adidas family, the guy finds out that the Adidas ownership of the family from like Germany were related to Hitler. So he tells Jordan's mom about this. And she's like, he goes, here's how the meeting's going to go. They got all these athletes. Your son's going to be no different than anybody else. They're not going to create anything special for him. So just go ahead and go to it and enjoy it if I'm not going to get the deal. So then she's like, she goes to it. And then she calls him back and says, well, then what are your – he hadn't even proposed a plan to her. So then he's got some guy in marketing and back designing this shoe, man, at the last second. And he creates that thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it on the shoe. And so then they bring Mike's mom in and he proposes it. And it was just epic the way that they went with that. And then Michael's mom's like, no, we want a percent of each shoe sale. We don't want to just get money. We want this to be ongoing. And so then he's got to sell that to the owners of Nike. And they're like, we're about broke. We can't, you know what I mean? We can't do that. That's the craziest deal in the world. So then the owner finally comes in, the majority owner. And he says, this may be your last job. I'm going to go with it, but this could be your last job. Like, if it doesn't work, dude, you're done. And then poof, it just blew up. It was like, it's a really good story.
Okay.
But it's all like Michael's mom mm-hmm. was the one who really was so important to that initial thing. And then Michael told Charles, because they were trying to sign Charles into a just here's your money type thing.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Charles Barkley tells the story. Michael's mom told him, Charles, don't do that. Charles, you need to get revenue. And so Charles is like, I still get paid today because of Michael's mom.
Okay. Yeah. Not mad at him.
No, wow. It's good stuff, man. But the shoe deals are huge. Well, sure. They're huge.
Yeah. She can buy the team a meal, you know, if they're out and about somewhere.
But you
the
wonder,
meal's on me. I got this.
Yeah.
At St. Elmo's. Or,
you wonder what that's like, though, because so she gets the NBA or WNBA max salary, which is not equivalent to anywhere near what the men would get. And it's based off revenue.
Yes, sir.
You just wonder how much ego. Because as we know, Jordan took pay cuts throughout his career because he had so much money with Nike in order to sign Rodman, re-sign Pippen, get Tony Kukoc, right? I mean, he took pay cuts. Toward the end of his career, he was like the 15th highest paid player, top 15.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the number one player paid. But it helps, I guess, if you get a $200 million Nike deal.
Right. Good point.
Interesting stuff, though, man. I'm excited about Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, this is an exciting time. I mean, not that there's many dull moments in Indianapolis, but this is an exciting time to be a sports fan in Indy. We are going to get a Major League Soccer team, or
that's what I hear. Yeah. Huh.
Is that feasible? Or am
probably.
I just...
Probably. I think they'd
really?
Probably do it.
All right.
If we listen
what
to
does
our...
that do with the 11 then? The Indy 11? What does that do? Does that make them that team, or does that do they
so.
Go away?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know enough about soccer, to be honest, to even state a factual thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in trucking because they let me be.
There, we are in trucking because they let us be. Yeah.
Quote Ed Perry.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you're dying, dude. I know you're dying to get into this.
The year 1991.
David.
I'm disappointed already. I did do my homework, Tony.
You did?
I did not. Oh. Because I have an alcohol problem.
So where were you in 1991? Let's talk about that first.
Yeah, so let's go first with that, because I think your 1991 story has to be better than mine.
I don't know, man. I was coming back from the Persian Gulf. The war zone. Wondering what the heck I was going to do with my little life.
What were your thoughts while you were over there?
I couldn't wait to get home, man. Am I going to make it out of here alive? I hope this thing doesn't blow up. You know what I mean?
So more specifically, and I'm not... There's no answer that's wrong. Or, did you ever find yourself wondering why you were over there, or why you were there, period, or why we were there, I guess is the better question.
Yeah, you're young. You don't really know all that. Heck, I was 18, 19 years old. Kind of understood why we were there. Our main mission at first was to escort U.S., get U.S. tankers and equipment through the zones and keep business moving there, protect businesses that were being attacked. That's how it started. And then it escalated, obviously, into other things. But yeah, I think, you know, I will say this, because you know me personally, I can be harsh on that stuff, but I think we knew the mission there. We knew the mission. And it was to, you know what I mean, to get in, to secure Kuwait, right, and get that all resolved and get Iraq out of Kuwait. So that part of it, yeah, we knew what the mission was, and we did it. Do I really know why? No. Maybe now, hindsight, we do know a little bit of why that started. But I wouldn't change my service at all. I enjoyed it. But
were
sometimes
in,
you wonder.
In your opinion, were we in the right to be over there?
Well, you got to remember, because this is the reason why I'm saying it. Kuwait was invaded by Iraq, right? And Kuwait was a free trading partner with the U.S. So they had asked us to remove, according to what we know, they asked us to remove the Iraqi soldiers from Kuwait, right? So we did that, and then the war ended. But, you know, I really don't know all the secretive reasons why we were there, what initiated it, why it happened. I thought that we resolved what we were intended to do. We ended up staying there for quite a bit, and then Afghanistan and all that, right? Came escalated after that. So
you're just a young kid. You're
just
over
19.
There.
You had no idea. Saw some crazy stuff, man. Some crazy stuff. But I think the purpose that, for all intents and purposes, what we were told to do, we did. It wasn't like a Vietnam or a Korea or anything like that, because we came in and then we got out, right? But we did stay in Iraq with soldiers, and then the Afghanistan thing, right, escalated. So there might have been other reasons why we were there, obviously, but there always is, it seems to be. But I didn't know any thought of it. Just going to defend and help my country, right? So you're taught and trained. So
that makes sense. So 1991, 22-year-old, skinny as F, little beanpole, making maybe $4.50 an hour at the time, maybe $4.50 an hour. And so at that time, Chasey would have been a junior at IU. So every Friday or Saturday morning, getting off of work and driving down to Bloomington to spend a day with Tracy or whatever.
Wow. You would do that?
Yeah. Every weekend. Yeah, wow. Yeah. And again, making maybe $4.50 an hour. Maybe $4.50 an hour. Busting my ass at General Foam Plastics, no longer in existence. You know, and you and I have talked, you know, personally off air or whatever, when we go out and grab lunch or get beers or whatever. My adage in life has always been, and still is to this day, keep your mouth shut and work hard. So yeah. I was keeping my mouth shut and working hard, showing up to work every single day. You know, I have, what now, 33 or 34 years perfect attendance. And
wow.
Just effing show up to work every day.
Get her done.
Yeah. So I still am very boring. Just working. Just trying to think of the vehicle I had in 1991. Probably I had a 1990 Dodge Dakota, but I don't think I bought that until like 93 or something. Those little 5-speed or whatever.
Dodge Dakota. Those were hot trucks. It was a truck, right?
Yes, sir. Little short cab, yeah. You know, just one row seat or whatever. Yeah.
It's drove good stuff.
Snot out of that thing. In 1991, you're just kind of working or whatever, trying to get by, thinking that gas is always going to be 89 cents a gallon or whatever. It's not going to be. And
oh my God.
But then, of course, I still live with I lived with my parents until I got married in 94. I mean, saving money, just working hard and saving money, I guess is probably the exact way to put it. And not that you could save much money off of $4.50 an hour, but you made it work.
Damn, you were close. 81 cents.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We'll never see those days again. But what I don't remember, Producer Tony, is quite a few songs on this list from 1991.
Lord.
And then some news I'm going to go through.
Good luck, David.
Yeah, sorry, man. Good I'm looking luck. At this list. I'm like, we thought 89 was bad? Or, you know, if you listen back, I'm kind of...
Oh, my God.
First off, I'm kind of thumbing through what might be some music news from 1991. And let's see. I'm not really, and I apologize, didn't do my homework. Wow. All right. Oh, wow. All right. So on March the 20th of 1991, Michael Jackson signs a contract with Sony signed a contract with Sony for $1 billion with a B dollars.
Mm.
I had no idea, dude. I had 1991. You're signing a contract in 91 for $1 billion.
That's huge.
Man, I didn't know you had. I didn't know that was even a. After you signed to me, I'm not working again. They kept on working. But that was probably part of the contract, though.
Well, yeah, I think there's probably triggers in there.
Sure.
According to this, you know, I don't want to go too deep into it, but according to this updated P. Diddy news, there's some stuff they make them do.
Okay. April 17th, 1991, Nirvana performs for the very first time Smells Like Teen Spirit in Seattle, Washington. There again, as we've mentioned the last couple shows, we're kind of getting to that grunge era or whatever.
It's happening.
In the early 90s, yep. You know. So 91. So Guns N' Roses kicks off their 26-month Use Your Illusion tour. I had both of those CDs, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. That was just kind of a dual disc
thing.
Huge,
yeah.
All right, here we go again. Sticking with the kind of the grunge theme, producer Tony, on May the 28th, 1991, the Smashing Pumpkins released their debut album, Gish.
Oh, yeah.
To me, my second favorite band of all time, the Smashing Pumpkins. I love the Pumpkins.
May have been the innovators of grunge.
Okay, fair.
Don't get credit for it.
Right. And from your hometown, the Pumpkins. So that's... On August the 12th of 1991, Metallica releases their most successful album, self-titled, the Black Album, or whatever, excuse me. And that is a awesome, awesome album. Metallica is one of those, I don't know if underrated is the right word, but I do like Metallica a lot. We're hitting it heavy with the grunge, producer Tony. On August the 27th, Pearl Jam releases their debut album, 10.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Classic grunge.
One of the biggest albums probably all time.
I've been invited to go see Pearl Jam. I've never seen Pearl Jam. I would think that's probably got to be an awesome, I bet that would be an awesome show. Have you ever seen them?
Yeah, here's a sad story.
Uh-oh.
When we came back in 91, I came back to Seattle, and that was happening, all those bands. They'd be playing it was called the Pioneer Square in Seattle, and they would have $5 cover charge, stamp your hand, and you could go into any bar, and there'd be different types of music playing. So years went by, and I kept in touch with a buddy for a while. And he told me, hey, man, do you remember that band we saw? I go, man, there were so many. And I remembered a tall guy playing bass. And I go, I remember that guy. He goes, yeah, dude, that's Nirvana. He goes, we saw them. I'm like, what?
Wow.
And then they were mixing and matching some of the band members back then. So Pearl Jam wasn't actually Pearl Jam at the time. So I didn't see them, but I did see Nirvana, which is kind of crazy, but
okay.
So that scene was hot, man, with stuff.
Yep.
Soundgarden probably might have been even the first of the bands.
Exactly where I was going next. On October the 8th, well done, producer Tony. On October the 8th, Soundgarden releases their debut album, Bad Motor Finger.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you nailed it on the head.
Huge band, huge.
And again, you know, and sticking with that, as much as I hate to say this, gone too soon, Chris Cornell. Chris Cornell was, I listened to his
Nothing Compares to You
cover.
Epic.
Dude, for the first time, I didn't know that it existed until this week. I don't remember where I was, but listened to it for the first time. I thought Sinead O'Connor nailed it.
Oh, yeah, she's got it.
He
nailed it, too.
Took it. That next level.
Different version, but
well
good, man.
Done.
Yeah.
Really absolutely. Good.
Highly underrated. Well,
oh, yeah. And Gone Too Soon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, those things happen. But yeah, very, very Gone Too Soon. And so that's kind of it, really, for the news of in music as far as 1991 is concerned. Looking at this lineup of, according to Billboard's top 100 hits of 1991, producer Tony, I kind of call BS on some of this because I disagree, but I guess this was for the times. I mean, the number one song according to Billboard magazine for the year 1991, year ending 1991, was "Everything I Do, I Do It for You" by Bryan Adams. Yes, I think we could have done better than that, but maybe again, I just don't
get number two.
I don't even know what that song is. I mean, I do know, but I'm almost afraid to like say what it is.
Number two.
I want to sex you up by "Color Me Bad." What an extensive career that "Color Me Bad" had.
And "Color Me Bad," no, that was. Well, did they have the? Did they redo the "Lean On Me"? Was that them? No, or that Club Nouveau. That was Club Nouveau.
Right, Club Nouveau, yeah.
The Music Factory, David. Ooh. You got their collection?
So I will say this about this song. The music video for this song, there's some fine-looking women in this.
You bought the music video.
Back when we had music, we still had music videos at this time.
Yeah.
We're right. Kind of getting out of it, though. Mm-hmm. We're coming close to getting out of it. Mm-hmm. Number four, Rush by Paula Abdul. Very,
I don't remember.
I do. But it's almost like you're like, man, I can't even believe I remember this song or whatever. Number five, don't know that song. Do not know that artist. Number six, Unbelievable by EMF. Those of you that are familiar.
I don't know that.
You're unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
You're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Good job.
More Than Words by Extreme. I do remember that. I do not know number eight at all.
I like the way.
Yeah, by the band High Five.
No idea.
I'm sure they're touring the nation right now and selling out whatever. Yeah. So going in at number nine, The First Time by Surface. I'm out on that one.
Wow.
Number 10, Amy Grant with Baby Baby. So I do remember.
I remember that. Baby Baby.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah, I do. So I'm going to hop off of the top 10 and kind of go through the rest of the list, see if anything kind of sticks out. So Goodbye Racing's at number 20 by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I definitely remember that. That was definitely apropos for that that time frame. Yeah, Mariah Carey in there at 22 with "Emotion."
How about "I Touch Myself"?
There it is at number 30. No. What number is that?
52. That was a big song. Yeah. It almost got banned.
By the Divinals, yeah. Right? Ba-boom, Boys from Three. Yeah. That was a... so again, as you know, there was a music video tied to that, and I do remember her being like a seductive redhead, if I remember that correctly, singing that kind of provocative "I Touch Myself."
Sticks in at 68 with "Show Me the Way."
There we go. From Chicago's very own, yeah. Right? Sticks was from Chicago. So, yeah. So, one of my at number, I'm going to back up just a hair. At number 66, "Cream" by Prince. And I don't remember the New Power Generation. I don't remember that part. Do you remember that being a part of Prince at all?
No.
I do not.
I remember Prince in the Revolution, but not.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't remember Prince in the New Power Generation.
Tesla with sign everywhere, sign.
And that's a remake,
yeah.
Clearly. So, yep. Yeah.
Look Who's Number 100. Well, that was huge.
Let me get, so. Really?
100.
That is it there because there was a mix in a year, maybe? Were they also? Because that shouldn't be that. Am I missing?
Unless it got released like in the last month of December.
Right. So at number at number 100 in the Billboard Hot ending, year ending, is "Shiny Happy People" by R.E.M. Some people might be like immediately annoyed by that song, yeah. But it's, to me, worth more than being 100, at least. The way I think it. Well, I mean, all right. To your point with that, look at 95. How is that song not any, like, that song should be in the top 10. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Even that's based shocking. Off of the music video at number 95, George Michael's "Freedom."
Oh, my God. Remember Rico Suave? This number.
Oh, yeah.
That was played 89. On the radio like every minute. How could that be 89?
But there is no way, Producer Tony.
I know.
There's no way either one of you, either one of us could have got who that artist is.
No.
I would have guessed like.
I forgot about Rico Suave.
So did I.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Maybe for the right reasons.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
All right.
So, check this out, though.
I did like 86. Everybody plays the fool.
Oh, that's a great song. Aaron Neville,
yeah,
man.
He's underrated.
Aaron Neville's a legend, dude. Everybody plays the fool.
82. Number 82 man, in the song. At the year ending Hot 100 for 1991. Silent Lucidity by Queensryche. I
wow.
like that song, too.
Everybody wow. plays the fool.
So God, if you look at one, if you look at the beginning of the list, you're like, meh. But now that you get further man, down like, on the list, you're like, holy cow, there is some good stuff here from 1991.
So I got pulled up here. Top, hang on, what is it called? Top alternative music, 1991.
Okay.
Big Audio.
Mm-hmm.
Rush. Mm. It's weird, and then it gets, okay, let me go down. Well, I don't really know the top four or five. Jesus Jones,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sister of Mercy, Simple Minds, See the Light. R.E.M., Losing My Religion.
Okay.
That's
Me in the Corner.
That's Me in the Corner.
That's Me in the Spotlight.
It's a good
losing
song.
Losing My Religion.
Yep. U2, Night and Day, Sting, All This Time, Elvis Costello. Other Side of Summer. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Give It Away, was number 24.
All right.
Give It Away.
Give It Away now.
Shiny Happy People was 34 in the alternative.
All right.
Which didn't exist back then, and this list.
And I know we've already talked about this, but again, the video resonates in my head. Shiny Happy People, the very beginning of the video, there's an elderly gentleman like riding a bicycle that opens
right.
the curtain for the stage kind of thing. And then the gal from Love Shack, B-52s. The gal from the B-52s is also one of the singers. And at that time, probably legitimately had to be very late 30s, very early 40s, and was super attractive then. Am I right, Tony? Mm-hmm. Or okay, all right.
I think so.
I don't remember her name either, so sorry, I can't. If I wasn't thinking about it, I probably would have it right there, but yeah. But she's huge on the vocals for Shiny Happy People. So
Shiny Happy People, mm-hmm. That's a good song.
Yeah,
it's interesting. The remember Crowded House?
Uh-huh. Don't Dream It's Over. Yeah. Is that the name of the song?
It's Only Natural.
Okay. But
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I don't either. But didn't they, isn't that one of the songs they sang?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Looks like INXS had some big songs.
Again, Gone Too Soon, Michael Hutchins.
Yeah.
Hutchins or whatever it was. Yeah.
The Fix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like The Fix. I liked that music in my... I like that music more than the hard like rock stuff. I like the REM,
REM was
INXS. I like that more than the other type of music that was being played at that time.
So here's the top grunge albums of 1991.
Okay.
Nirvana, which you said, Teen Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's rated a 9 out of 10. And then they came out. Wait, what? They came out with it. Never mind. Wow.
That was their second album, right?
That was their second album. Was number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Soundgarden, Bad Motorfinger, you said that one. Mm-hmm. Number 3.
Okay.
Tad, I don't remember them.
I do not.
They were number 4. Mm-hmm. And then number 5 was Pearl Jam.
Okay. Their debut album?
Yeah.
All right.
It's an 8 out of 10.
All right. I wish I could be an 8 out of 10.
I know. And then this one is weird. Wow, because I know this, but I don't know. Mudhoney, number 6.
I don't know what that is.
David Grohl talks about Mudhoney. He he was in a concert, and he tells a story about what made him really want to go travel and play music is he didn't know who the hell Mudhoney was, and he met a guy from Mudhoney, and they were like kind of touring and doing really well. And he's like, Mudhoney, I never fucking heard of you. You know, and he's mm-hmm. like, what the heck? And then that's kind of what got, I think, oh, that's what it was. They were traveling with Nirvana.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of opening up, I think, with them.
Okay. Not so, the other way around.
No, not the other way around. Right. Temple the Dog was number 7.
All right, yeah. When I'm Hungry, yeah. Right? Or is that the name of the song?
I'm gone hungry.
Yeah.
Something. I don't mind stealing bread from the mouths of decadence. Yeah. And then Cornell in the background, I'm going hungry.
You could buy your tickets to see the producer Tony and Dave Music Fest.
How many people would show up? Three?
About as many people that listen to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
That's interesting, though, man. It looks like grunge, though. Wow, this is where it takes over right here. This is it.
So we've been waiting on it.
Yeah.
We've been waiting on it. So we get to 91, and that's when
it happens. It's on, man. Like Donkey Kong, two of the top albums. Three. I mean, it's pretty sad.
So we haven't heard Alice in Chains yet. So I wonder when they, I mean, we'll discover that, I guess, maybe in the next week or two.
I'm going to look it up real quick because I think they should be popping right now.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm thinking. You're listening to the Ship's Gonna Happen podcast with zero to, or not much discussion about freight today.
Here we go. Really started going in 1990, 1991, 92 is when their big release came.
Okay. 92. All right. So we'll get to them next week then.
Yeah. So that's a good thing.
And all right.
A very highly underrated band.
It still performs today.
Yes.
Obviously not with
the same lead singer, but that same lead singer sounds.
But the gentleman they have now, I think, is phenomenal. My opinion. And I don't know what his name is. I've watched performances, and I think he's excellent. Just because you're always going to get that. He's not, you know, Lane Staley.
Right? Yeah, well.
All right. He's not here anymore. So. Right.
Well, didn't want to be here.
Right.
So did you look at the Ruoff's schedule at all?
I did. I'm not seeing anything. At least the last time I
looked. Smaller venues.
I do. So last night I went to not sponsored Mousetrap. Have you ever been to the Mousetrap?
I've heard of it. No, I've heard it from you before.
So first, this was actually my first time to go to the Mousetrap. It was last night. It's been on my bucket list. To your point, it's been on my bucket list for a very long time. We saw a band called Jocelyn in the Sweet Compression, and it was fire. It was absolute fire.
How many people did get seat in there? A couple hundred in there.
So how many could?
Yeah.
Let's go with that. How many could? Yeah. I would say 100, 1.25, maybe tops. But yeah, 100.25 maybe.
Was it
but
packed?
No. Don't know why. Just a little. I'm kind of curious as to why. It was a good place. Really good place. The drinks were great. It was $15 cover. Aaron showed up. Hall of Famer Aaron.
He was there.
Uh huh. Yeah, it was good. The band was phenomenal, and yeah, put this in your head. There's a band. Have you ever heard of the band Lettuce, as in a head of lettuce?
No.
Lettuce.
I have not.
They're coming to Indy. They're an all instrumental funk band out of, they're coming to the Hi-Fi outside, the annex outside Hi-Fi on September the 13th. I gotta go. That's a really, really good band.
So wow.
I would much rather, to your point.
You know those bands pretty good too. I don't know them as well.
Yeah, but I just happen upon those bands. Yeah. I don't go looking for them. You know how things just kind of end up in your algorithm. You're like,
right.
What's this? And I'm like, but Lettuce caught my ear, and then Jocelyn and the Sweet Compression, which is the band that we saw last night, absolutely phenomenal. It was, and I liked that. And, you know, it was, there wasn't anybody near me standing, as nobody probably would want to anyway, but you just was like, man, all right, I got
you had
this.
Room.
That's I got
cool.
This. It was all good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I looked at the Aruba. I just didn't see anything. I'm just, I don't know. And those prices, man.
Yeah, I know.
Come on now.
I know. You got to buy the pass if you're going to do it.
Yeah. No, you do it. You do an excellent job with that. So do you get to go see Dave Matthews this year?
Yeah.
With that pass, right?
Yeah, but the pass is pretty cool. So
Is that a lawn pass?
It's $2.99. If you go early, you can get down right behind the seats.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to do that. You just go in early and cop a squat there and, mm-hmm. and sit down. I like the lawn. I've sat in the seats. Didn't like it. It was just hard to, if you're sitting down in the lawn, you can get up and go anywhere you want anytime, you know. Yeah, I guess you could do that in the seat too, but it's like, excuse me. And it's just, it seems more packed in there, more crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And the view is not much different than being right at that first, you know, level of the lawn. But yeah, you get, so if you pay, so I was looking at it. So Pearl Jam, it's $100-some ticket.
Okay.
So
that, in the lawn?
Yeah. Yep. And then Dave Matthews is only like $45.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Pearl Jam and the other bands, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is three concerts and it's paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there anything that you're going to go see in May?
I don't think. Let me see here. Let me look at it again. I don't think there's some. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is there's some stuff that Ann was going to go with the kids to. I'm
oh, okay.
sure I was going to go. There was 21 Savage,
mm-hmm.
American Dream Tour. That's May 23rd. I probably would not go to that.
Mm-hmm.
Hoosier. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is. Mm-mm. Noah Kahan.
Mm-mm.
Don't know who that was. Hardy Quit Tour.
Mm-mm.
I guess for me it would really start in June with Hootie and the Blowfish.
Okay. I do want to comment, this is my bad, that last Saturday we missed National Record Store Day, producer Tony.
Oh, really?
Oh, well.
Missed your birthday, too. Happy birthday, man.
Wednesday was.
It's yeah. Wednesday, yeah. It was Happy Wednesday. Birthday, man.
Thank you.
How old are you now?
The big
35?
Right. Let's add 20 to that. And it's the speed limit of all speed limits that sucks, 55.
So your favorite song right now, Sammy Hagar, I can't drive right. 55.
Who does? Who does?
Yeah. You know, he's like 76.
Looks good.
My God, he's not coming to the Ruoff Center, too.
Not that I'm into judging how good men look, but he's a good
He looks good for 76, man. Mm-hmm. Dude, mm-hmm. that is like, he is on it.
So I'm going to go back to, I'm disappointed in myself that we missed National Record Store Day.
Oh, I know.
And I knew it was coming. I knew it was last Saturday, and it's just one of them things where you're like, son of a...
I didn't even know it.
So the day before National Record Store Day, I was at Square Cat Vinyl with some people on a Friday. As we are leaving, and I'm not making this up, they're still open. There's already people in line for National Record Store Day down the block.
No way.
Seriously, dude, camped out, and I'm like...
So what's the event? They just go support the records, or they...
I think there must be a sale, I'm guessing.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm guessing. And I'm like,
it's amazing.
I'm like, what are we doing here? I knew what it was. And they're like, and so I'm talking, I'm just having conversation with the people in line. Like, all right, what you got your eye on or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, it was, I found it fascinating. And it was chilly. I mean, if you think a week back, it was pretty chilly. Yeah, it got into the 30s
right.
at night. And I'm like, what do we got to keep us warm? And they're like, well, here's a little heater. I go, I think we need some liquid. What else do we got? You know,
the hand heaters.
Yeah. Well, I would think liquid would help. You know, just.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, liquid fire.
Yeah. So I think it's just, I think it's all sales and also supporting small business. Yeah, is that if that makes sense?
Yeah,
to you?
It does. I mean, I didn't know. I would have gone.
I would, babe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I may end up there today because as a birthday thing or whatever, we'll see. I doubt, maybe probably won't, but I may end up there today, sitting in there drinking some beers and listening to music.
It's your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Good show, producer Tony.
You too, brother.
Good show. Thanks for everybody for listening. Smash that like button. Click subscribe. You're listening to the Ship's Gonna Happen podcast.
We are out of here.